He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. Today is the epitome of a mixed market once again. The Dow is up 100. That's 20 basis points, but the NASDAQ, probably being led lower by AMD's results last night, is down 200 points right now, down 90 basis points, 89 basis points. And it's funny how AI goes into favor and out of favor, but mostly it's been in favor lately. Today it is out of favor. The S&P 500 is down 20 points to 68.97. Meanwhile, over in the gold pits, we've got gold up 2%. Nice rebound since Friday, both Monday, Tuesday, and today. And silver is back up 7.8%. It has also been rebounding quite a bit here since that big 28% sell-off on Friday. Meanwhile, Brent crude or crude oil. Let's go to Texas and see what they're pricing oil at. It's up a quarter of a percent to $63.37. And last but not least, man, I'll tell you what, Bitcoin remains weak. Weak. It's down $3,000 today to $74,396. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we had quite an interesting day in the markets yesterday. I thought, Barry, as I usually do, gosh, maybe today will be a fairly routine day where I can just go through my routine, finish up in the late afternoon, maybe relax a little bit, you know. No such thing, because all of a sudden, I would say shortly after the radio show ended, the first headline I saw was that we shot down an Iranian drone headed for an aircraft carrier. Okay, that's kind of provocative. I thought, man, you know, maybe it would just straight off course. But then there was a confrontation in the Straits of Hormuz where that oil flows through, with an American-flagged oil tanker being approached by six Iranian gunboats. Well, that's two strikes, and all of a sudden oil went from being down 4.5% to up 2.5% by the end of the day.
Right.
And gold also, which was, it was making a comeback yesterday, but it really started to take off when that news broke. Okay. So, and, you know, you're also seeing all of a sudden a little bit of a souring again, which we've had many times over the last several years, against the AI stocks, which have been on fire recently, especially the memory stocks. You've seen a little bit of a backing off, a little bit of rotation out of those stocks recently. And that kind of picked up, too, because they're a risk asset. Look, there's no question about it. Crypto is a risk asset. And both of those sold off after that Iranian incident. And then to add a little bit of fuel to the fire of the AI sell-off, this latest one, AMD reported earnings last night. I thought they were pretty good, but the guidance, I guess, she downplayed the guidance a little bit, probably played it on the safe side.
She usually does. Yes. You know, she's not one of these that's going to, you know, thump her chest and say, hey, we're doing, you know, she usually is kind of sandbags a little bit, if you will.
Yeah. So AMD's down 11% today so far, last time I looked. And also, there's a holdup on NVIDIA selling chips to China. Man, that's like a ping pong match going back and forth.
Right.
Have you ever watched a ping pong match? Those guys like, woo, you can't even follow that ball. No. It's kind of like the NASDAQ. It's worse than the NASDAQ, really.
That and badminton. Badminton's pretty interesting, too.
Yeah.
Apparently, I believe, earlier, but before we got on the show, I think Trump has been on the phone with Xi from China. So it'll be interesting to see, what comes from that. But yeah, the headline was that those chips are still on hold. So
yes, they're still on hold. They're waiting at a port somewhere offshore, waiting to come ashore, and that's hurting the chip stocks. And by the way, I mean, the semiconductor stocks continue to plummet, and that's not good. I gave the analogy yesterday of my little tomato garden in my backyard. I start tomatoes from seed, so I get a lot of joy out of doing that and watching. I like making things grow, obviously, the business I'm in. So, you do need favorable circumstances, and I had 8 just fantastic tomato plants loaded.
Right.
One of them was turning red. There was a bunch on there, and I picked a bunch at least to get started. And then all of a sudden, a fungus hit one of the plants. This year I'm going to use black plastic. Maybe that's, I don't know. I don't know of anything else to keep those limbs from being infected by the ground is where the bacteria lies. And I lost that tomato plant overnight. It looked like the chart of the software sector, ETF, that tomato plant. And I thought, okay, well, we'll pluck out the disease plant, and hopefully it won't spread to the other plants. Well, don't you know it, within a week, every one of them, one by one, got the disease. I had to pull the plant and had a bunch of green tomatoes. Good thing we know what to do with green tomatoes here in the South, Barry. Fried green. You can only eat so many, though. Fried green tomatoes.
They're a little. They're good, but they're a little heavy.
They're pretty heavy. So all those tomatoes I lost, and ever see a grown man cry? I mean, I was just so upset about all of this and that, and. But if the same thing's happening in the software stocks.
And you've been mentioning, I've been seeing some big articles in the last couple of days on, we talked about Anthropic and Claude last week. Some big, big articles in, your big news journals about what is going on in the software industry.
Personally, I think it's an overreaction to AI. I still think there's got to be a lot of human touch in there. You're just not going to turn over software development. And everybody's not going to replace their sales force.
You still have to have the implement. Still have to have implementation. I mean, you can write code all day with Claude, but you still have to implement it and shape it around a business, right?
But in the meantime, the fungus has hit the biggest Microsoft. It hit Microsoft. It actually began quite a while ago with Adobe and. And then Intuit joined in, CrowdStrike, Palantir, one by one.
It's spread today. Yeah, and you see today it's spread to the some of the financial data providers. So if you look at you look at FactSet, some of these MSCI, I believe, some of them are down big today. And what those companies do is sell data and sell.
I buy data from FactSet.
You buy data from FactSet. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And
but
so they
AI is not going to provide me with that data.
Well, it sounds like potentially that that AI could get you the data in a cheaper format or write code for it potentially. So that's where you're seeing all of these different. Like you said, the fungus, at first it's here in software, and then now, it's in financial data providers, right? And, where does it go next?
Well, it's spreading to the chip stocks, and I said it's just a matter of time before it spreads to the chip stocks, before it runs its course. Eventually it runs its course. But for now, you've got some other risk assets. Bitcoin is very unnerving. It's expected by me but it's not expected and it's not welcomed by many others. Well, I mean, Michael look at Burry Trump's was, sons. Yeah. How much is Trump's sons invested and sunk into Bitcoin? And look, yeah, tell them about Michael Burry, what he said today.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, today, I mean, he essentially warns that, you know, that this current sell-off can create, you know, create a kind of a, I think he referred to it as a death spiral.
Panic.
But,
yeah,
you
death
know, essentially,
spiral.
I mean, more selling and more selling and more selling. And that's what, you know, your resolve in these in this Bitcoin has been, you know, folks who just hold no matter what, right? Remember the
old,
the diamond hands.
They're being
hands,
tested.
Right? The diamond hands, and they're certainly being tested, I think, at this point.
Selling begets selling. That's been my experience in the markets. Well, anyway, so U.S. Navy drowns an Iranian drone yesterday and gets approached, one of our warships escorting an oil tanker through the Straits of Hormuz, confronts six Iranian gunboats. Other than that, you know, the world's nice and calm today, and nothing else is happening. We did get a private sector jobs report. But on the upside, massive report from Lilly, one of my two conviction picks for 2026. Zepbound not only works, people are buying it, and the stock is having a big day. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where politics, world events, the economy, the stock market, current events, national events, local events, the weather, everything converges. Whether you're in the market or not, I tell my wife every night, you know, I learn more about what's going on in the world by watching the market every day. I saw very little news last night about the incident in Iran, yet I saw it show up in the price of oil yesterday. That's a dramatic turnaround. It was down 2%, and it ended up 4%. Or no, it was down 4%. It ended up like 2.5%. That's a massive turnaround. Gold bounces back with its largest one-day percentage gain since 2009. And yet the news barely covered the event. The market obviously thought it was a big thing. And we try to bring that stuff to you. This is stuff that's below the surface. That, you know, when you're looking at 500,000 charts a day, you see stuff like this and able to report it out to the folks out there that don't get a lot of things happening in the world because, you know, we talk about other things on the news other than things that could change the world. I mean, if China and Russia were behind Iran at this point in time, that would be a big deal. I'm not saying they are, but as a risk, as a portfolio manager, I also have to be a risk manager and ask myself tough what if questions, okay? So anyways, gold and silver had a massive move yesterday too after that big sell-off on Friday. Now, why are private sector labor market reports important? Because it's going to impact the Fed going forward. Weak jobs reports could lead to interest rate cuts, but they're also watching inflation. That's the other side of this equation. I would just say that the jobs reports lately, especially the job creation, not so much the initial jobless claims, but we're seeing today the private sector labor market softened further in January. Which goes against Trump's narrative that, you know, he's the big job creator. I just think that a lot of those jobs and the factories being built aren't online yet. And there's a lot of jobs out there. I mean, look at Boeing and others that are flourishing right now. But overall, the private sector added 22,000 jobs in January. And that's sending interest rates down just a little bit. You see how it's all interlinked. And we also compare these reports with the consensus, Barry. The consensus was for 67,000
right,
jobs,
yeah.
And it came in at 22. So that also is a big factor.
And we're in this, you know, we're in this part of the economy right now where you, you know, you're not adding a ton of jobs. We're also not losing, a ton of jobs either when you're talking about looking at the weekly jobless claims. But, it's just really, you know, really stagnation, right? I mean, it's not, you know, we're not, you know, it's not too hot, not too cold, but.
Well, speaking of cold.
We're in a teeter either way.
Yeah, I think this is a slow time of year. I go into restaurants mm-hmm. these days and there's two people in there. Because of the cold and, the seasonality of everything. Things are very, very slow. I don't care if you go to the mall or to a TJ Maxx or to Target or to your favorite little restaurant. Things are very slow right now. This whole ice storm and everything, it just slows things down. So I wouldn't be too worried about the jobs reports. I'd be more worried about Google's and Alphabet's earnings report tonight after the close. You see how AMD is impacting the markets today. AMD has always been a very unpredictable stock. But from my perspective, I would say behind NVIDIA, it's the second best chip stock in the world today with Broadcom number three. But that doesn't mean they don't have quarters that are a bit choppy. And it doesn't mean that this sell-off in the software stocks isn't starting to infect the chip stocks, which have been holding up the whole tech sector recently. So we're going to get Google tonight. We're going to get Amazon tomorrow. And then we have a lot of the big tech stocks out of the way. We've had Microsoft. We've had Meta. And then we had AMD last night. NVIDIA's towards the end of the quarter. So we are in the midst of earnings season. And there's the other factor right now. Earnings season has been very good so far. We started out with expectations of 8.3% growth overall for S&P 500 companies this quarter, and we're up to over 11% after, you know, 33% of the companies reporting. Okay, here's one that we warned you about. Blackstone Gray Flags Disruption Risk in Private Credit. Now, I'm just going to say that the private credit companies that are issuing a lot of this garbage, Blackstone is down 13% year-to-date. Apollo Global Management is down 13%. KKR is down 19%. And Ares Management is down 20%. Don't say we didn't warn you about this whole private credit pushing this off on the public. To me, it's another 2008-2009, probably not as big as the mortgage, debacle, but I do think that it's not going to end well. And these companies that are issuing this, now they're defending it today, but I'm just looking at the performance of these companies that produce this garbage, radioactive nuclear waste, and they're not doing very well. And I hope you didn't get caught up into it and sold some of that private credit. And here's my favorite story of the day. Hair loss pill developer Veradermics raises $256 million in an upsized IPO. That tells me there's help for the scalp challenged. If they're willing to put out $250 million into a hair loss pill, hey, whoever thought there would be a weight loss pill? No going to the gym, no sweating your you-know-what off in the sweat room. Miserable being hungry all the time, starving to death. No, a pill kills your appetite. And look at the results in Lilly today. Maybe a hair loss pill, an oral hair loss therapy. I'm all for it. The follically challenged need help too. Age has a way of, you get like Trump where he gets it from his back and combs it over his head, you know. Hey,
wherever you've got it, yeah, you're moving it around to other places, right?
I keep pulling more. My part keeps moving to the left, right, as I try to get the follically challenged area that's getting worse by the day. The symbol is Maine. I love it. M-A-N-E.
M-A-N-E?
Yes, because we're all hoping for a better Maine as we get older. Kathy Wood's ARK investment loads up on Alphabet. I don't know about that. You know, maybe it's time to sell. I don't have a lot of faith in her fund is really looking extremely vulnerable these days. And we do have we own some SARK. As a hedge against the very high-risk area of the market, the risk asset area of the market. But she's loading up on Google. We'll see how it does tonight. When we come back, we'll talk rare earth, AMD, Palantir, Anthropic, and Lilly, one of my favorite.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. So we've got Google reporting tonight, all right? That's very important. That's probably the biggest one. And, you know, they've got a lot of irons in the fire. They are a proxy for AI. They're a proxy, of course, they're Gemini 3, supposedly.
Yeah.
I'm reading that ChatGPT is having problems. And Microsoft stock is having problems, too, right?
Yeah, and they're a data, I mean, they're a data center play, they're a search play, they're
chip.
You know, I mean, they've got, like you said, they've got a lot of irons in the fire. They make their own, you're right, they make some of their own chips, right? So
yes.
They've got that piece of it. It'll be, I mean, it's going to be an exciting report. I mean, my thought would be just, you know, offhand, it should be good. You get here that Gemini's really getting a lot of additional AI traffic, as you say, pulling some of that traffic, a good bit of that traffic from ChatGPT. So it'll be an exciting one to hear from tonight.
And, so. You know, I read Anthropic is allowing their employees to sell stock if they want before it goes public, and they're valuing their company at $350 billion as a private company. So that's if you were lucky enough to get a job, even sweeping floors at Anthropic, you know, and got some shares, you've made some good money in that stock. When it plans on going public, there's a race to go public, right, between Anthropic and OpenAI. Those are really the two biggest players besides ChatGPT. Well, OpenAI is kind of ChatGPT, but OpenAI is going to go public as a separate company. From Microsoft, obviously. Microsoft is just an investor in it. And then you've got Anthropic out there, which a lot of, you know, they got a lot of irons in the fire, too. So it will be interesting. And don't forget, Elon Musk has got his AI, which he's combining with his SpaceX. And there's going to be some big IPOs this year. Rare Earth is another one that's fun to watch here. USA Rare Earth, which is USAR. They eye a $3 billion funding. That's pretty good, including as much as $1.6 billion from the U.S. Commerce Department for its plans to build a domestic rare earth and critical minerals supply chain. CEO Barbara Humpton was interviewed yesterday on Bloomberg, and she says that the defense sector, knows that they need to choose different sources of supplies from China, the CEO told Bloomberg. The conversations we are having today say that they are willing to make commitments years from now in order to ensure that supply. But U.S. Rare Earth believes, you know, and Trump believes, we got to diversify. We got to find rare earth here in America. And USA Rare Earth is looking at the Round Top formation in Texas. where they think there's a huge deposit of rare earth under the ground. And, you know, to be able to get $3 billion in funding, usually these people that fund these ventures do a lot of homework and a lot of due diligence to determine whether or not it's just a hole in the ground with a bunch of liars standing around it, which a lot of the old mining stocks were. But this seems to be the real deal, rare earth in Texas. And, you know, there's several. They're looking for rare earth all over the world. That's why they call it rare earth. I watch, I think, UUUU with rare earth maybe in Madagascar. You've got one down in Australia. You've got, of course, MP Materials near Las Vegas. So it's an interesting thing to watch, because it is very important. Palantir in focus as HPC upgrades after results and guidance. You know what? We don't own any software stocks right now. We sold Palantir at $171 per share. It was my conviction pick last year. It was one of the top performing stocks in the S&P 500, if not the top. I never did see the final results of which S&P, but it was Palantir towards the end of the year, though. I don't know if it held that position, but suffice it to say it had a huge year in 2025. We sold it at 171. Palantir is down 10% again today. I'm glad we sold it. It's at 142, so it's down $29 per share since we locked in our profit. Which leads to a whole nother discussion. When do you sell? Well, you know what? I don't have any set hard rule. Okay, AI says sell it now. I don't have that. I do it visually by looking at the chart. I look at the neighborhood it's in. It's in the software neighborhood. Right now, that is, other than crypto. Crypto's the worst neighborhood in the market right now. The second worst neighborhood is probably software. And it just looks awful. And Palantir is breaking down today. It's breaking down below its 50 and its 200-day. Now, it's one thing to call bottoms in the market and when it's time to get in, but it's equally as important to say, I think we're running out of gas here. I think it's gotten too expensive. I think the neighborhood's going to infect it. I think the chart is looking sloppy here. All of those things come into play for me. Valuation numbers, PE ratios, PE on Palantir.
And the percentage of the total portfolio. So as it becomes a more concentrated position, obviously you get more concerned.
In other words, it's not easy managing money. hopefully I earn my pay every day by watching these stocks daily. I did call a top in silver the day before it sold off 28%. And I will say that we had two conviction picks in 2026. One of them has reported. We're going to get to that in a minute. And the other one I already cashed in just 5 weeks into the new year because it had gone up so fast, so quickly. I won't mention the name, but if you've been following along and read the newsletter, the first newsletter of this year, I said, here's my two conviction picks. And I also said I reserve the right. That doesn't mean I'm going to hold it for 12 months.
Right.
I'm not going to grit my teeth. It went up way beyond what I ever expected in the first month of the year. And I saw this whole NASDAQ and AI starting to weaken again, which it's doing again today. And I said, you know what? This is a good time to take the money and run. There's another reason for selling. And also, you know, this infection that's spreading through the NASDAQ right now
from
the software sector.
That name's down 6% today, too, by
the way. One I sold yesterday? Okay, yeah, well, all right. Gunderson did it. You're never going to catch the very top.
It doesn't work like that all the time.
I look at calling tops and bottoms as a 100-foot putt at the Masters. If you could put the ball within 6 feet of the pin,
right?
Barry.
There you go. Yeah, you did your job.
That's good enough. Okay, that's the way I look at it. Okay, Eli Lilly. Now, this is an interesting story. There's two companies that make weight loss GLP-1 drugs, and one is in Denmark. by the name of Novo Nordisk. Actually, it's in Denmark. Name of Novo Nordisk. And it just seems that of the two, and I think they're probably both equally as effective. I think they both work. One is made from Wegovy, and the other one is made from a different compound, a little bit different, at Lilly's. But Lilly has been around 100 years or longer. You know, Eli Lilly fought in the Civil War for the Yankees. Not the New York Yankees, but the Northern Yankees. And that's how long that – it's in Indianapolis, home of Philip Rivers. I don't know. Maybe he still lives in San Diego. He was there for the last couple games of the year. He didn't look too good either. I mean, he wasn't in shape, I didn't think. But what do you expect at that age? Anyway, Lilly seems to be the drug of choice. And I know NVO – we own them both. We hedge our Lilly bet with NVO. And NVO was down 14% yesterday on 15% growth in earnings and only 5% growth in sales. Okay, compare that with Lilly today, which is now up $94 per share. That was my second conviction pick for 2026. It's up 9.7%. I said it would be the first $1 trillion drug stock ever. That was a long time ago. It was, I think, $800 million at the time. It's now been there. It dipped, and now today it's back above a trillion, $1.04 trillion, as it disrupts, continues to disrupt an entire diet, gymnasium type of industry with their Zepbound drug. Sales up 43%, earnings up 42%. We'll take a look at the best stocks now happen, what it says about Lilly right now when we come back. You got to go where you want to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, this show goes quickly. I don't know where it goes. Let's take a look at LLY, the pride of Indianapolis, over the last 10 years. Now, I first heard about Lilly from a friend of mine at church who's been in he worked for some major, major drug maker companies over the years, and lately, he's a retired biotech CEO of a publicly traded biotech company. Very brilliant guy. And, I said, man, you're losing a lot of weight. Are you okay? No, he says, never felt better. I'm on Lilly's drug, and I've lost 79 pounds. What? I'd kind of heard about these weight loss drugs, so I then started to intensify my research and focus into the stock and the drug, and started seeing more and more success stories showing up. And the thing you always worry about, obviously, are side effects. I remember back in the early 2000s, there was a drug, and they found out that it impacted the heart in a very negative way. And since that time, now when they do clinical trials, Barry, because of that drug, they also always have to do some kind of a test on how it impacts the heart.
Was that Fen-Phen?
Fen-Phen.
Yeah, that's what it
okay.
was.
Okay, and Lilly, the thing about Lilly, that drug has been around for a long time, it being called something else.
Yeah, the compound. It's been
for
used
for diabetes,
by
right? Right. Yeah. Okay, so Ozempic, is theirs, and Lilly's was Mounjaro, I believe. And so I said, they've been around a long time. If there was adverse effects, they would be showing up in the people that are taking them for diabetes. So that also was a big plus for me. Okay, over the last 10 years, Lilly stock, it is the best pharmaceutical drug stock in the entire market. I wouldn't own Pfizer. This is just me. I wouldn't own Abbott. I wouldn't own Merck.
Johnson,
I wouldn't
favorite?
Own Bristol
Johnson
Myers.
And, Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson. They are soggy. They haven't come up with anything new. I wouldn't own Amgen, which is a member of the Dow. Lilly has got it going on. And the stock over the last 10 years, 31.6% per year, with no guarantees going forward. That's versus the S&P's 26%. But it's even getting better. Over the last 5 years, 39.9% return, total return average per year, while the S&P's done 16. Over the last 3 years, 45% per year, and over the last 12 months, 24%. It's cooled off a little bit over the last 12 months because all of the controversy about the price of drugs in general. And Trump's kind of war on drug prices, that has, you know, it has cooled the stock off. But it's still up 25% over the last 12 months. And over the last 1 month, it's down 7% because, number one, Novo Nordisk beat it to the punch with the pill. But Lilly's coming right along behind it with a pill of their own.
Should be in the first quarter. Preparing.
Yes, yeah. It's going to happen. And number two, the price has come down, but still, this is one of the biggest disruptors of all time, disrupting an entire gigantic dieting industry. And Lilly has put some pretty good numbers up on the board. Now that's looking backwards, and of course a big part of my whole analysis of companies, you know, having been an analyst way back in the early 2000s, I learned to do 5-year valuations. And if I look at my target price right now on Lilly, which is trading right around $1,000 per share, I think it has the potential over the next 5 years to become a $2 trillion company. That's just based on taking the earnings estimates where they're at right now. $41 per share in earnings next year. Grow those by 17% a year. That's the consensus on the street. I might have dampened those down just a little bit, tempered them down, tamped them down a little bit to err on the conservative side, and then applying a multiple that I think is appropriate. And I come up with a $1,974 target price. This is as of yesterday, which gives it 100% upside potential. Potential over the next 5 years. They've got to execute. They've got to ward off competitors, all kinds of things, adverse events. Maybe somebody dies from taking Zepbound. There's always risk involved. But we're just taking the numbers, the public numbers that are out there on the street right now, and doing a 5-year valuation. And I still think Lilly has lots of upside potential with no guarantees going forward. So it meets my criteria of performance. It gets a performance grade of A+. The valuation grade is A. Okay, so that's a rare combination, an A. And when you combine those two together, I have a ranking right now. It's a weak buy because the momentum's been down a little bit lately. But the upside potential is still there, and we own a large, it may be our largest position right now. I'd have to look at it. That varies from day to day.
I was actually looking
right now. It's one or two, three. It's one of the top because we own it in our value portfolio, and we own it in our premier growth portfolio. And we'll just close with this. Lest you think that Best Stocks Now produces short-term results on a consistent basis like this, like AMD, on the other hand, is down today. And that's, you know, you have those quarterly earnings, and they can be choppy. So, unfortunately, AMD is offsetting our gain in Lilly today, two of them. AMD is down 14.3%, but still a fan of AMD. AMD is trading at 20 times forward earnings right now. that's as cheap as I've seen it in a long time. It may be a candidate here for the value fund at
again.
Some point.
Yeah, again, he was one of the early additions, last year, and then you had a good run with it, so it may be one may show up on the radar again.
We always try to stay fair and balanced here on the Gunderson on the Best Stocks Now show. All right, well, we're out of time. Houston is filling up. You better reserve a spot. And to get 4-week, I sent out a record number of newsletters on Saturday. You can get in on that by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com. You can talk to us about our portfolios, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.